Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. I called a little audible and did communion first, and then we'll do offering at the end. I threw everybody off their game, so guest services, thank you guys for being accommodating and patient with me as I'm still learning how to do this whole church thing, but thanks for allowing me to do that. Hey, pull out your notes if you don't already have them out. We are in our second week now of a new message series called Thanksgiving, in which we're learning, trying to know and imitate the generous heart of God. And it's not unusual for message series like this, when you're talking about giving in any way, for the crowd to thin. People find all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses, and they're totally unrelated, right, in their mind. But it's the fact that we can get very uncomfortable with the idea that we're not where we're supposed to be in expressing the heart of God through what we have in our lives. But I want to challenge you and encourage you to stay brave, to stay mature, and walk through this entire series with us, because it will be one of the... So let me ask you this. Do you think the thing that we avoid the most is the thing we probably need to change in our life the most and would facilitate growth in our life the most? And the answer is, of course, yes. When we're out of shape, we avoid all forms of exercise and all kinds of things where people are trying to put healthy foods in front of us. There was a time a couple years ago when if somebody had put the kind of food I eat now, if they had put that in front of me, I'd have been like, are you joking? What is it? It feels like an insult when somebody tries to, it feels very invasive when somebody tries to put something healthy in front of you when you're choosing to be unhealthy. Does that make sense? So it's a good thing for us to put ourselves in the path of good, healthy things. How many have heard the expression, better get while the getting's good? That's a country idiom, an expression, a saying. If you haven't heard it, it means a couple different things. It means you better go while you still can. Better get out of here while you still can. And it also means we better quit while we're still ahead. Right? So it can mean a couple things, but it's a good country idiom that helps express that sense of needing to get something done before there are consequences to it. But I want to expand that today if we can, and I want to make it about what we're talking about, that you better get good at gratitude so that you can get good at generosity. Because if I were to pull everybody in here, I'm going to guess that almost everybody would say they do want to be a generous person. Your life wants to be marked by generosity. I have the unfortunate responsibility of doing people's funerals. And I, as you can imagine, I don't like doing funerals. It's very sad, and I hate seeing people hurt, and I hate seeing people have to say goodbye to a loved one. And it's a terrible thing. I don't like doing funerals at all. It's terrible. But the thing that makes those moments worthwhile is getting to hear people talk about the person that impacted them so much. And I've never heard anyone brag about somebody's ability to hoard, or somebody's ability to be stingy, or somebody's, you know, I'll tell you, Grandpa was the stingiest, most selfish man I ever knew. Love him, bless his heart. Grandpa could hoard, he never gave anything away. Nobody wants that to be said about them, and you want to live a life that's marked by generosity, right? Good. All right, so let's talk a little bit about that today. So how do we get good at generosity? Number one is I get good at generosity, and I'm using some terrible grammar. You're going to be okay with that? I get good at generosity when I get good, or when I get good at being thankful for, number one, things that I've lost. I get good at being generous when I get good at being thankful for things that I've lost. So we don't often associate being thankful or grateful with loss or losing something of value as a cause for being thankful. And that's because we are sort of like hoarding squirrels. We want to protect ourselves from want or need, right? So if we can, we collect and collect and collect as much as we can. And even when we've gotten all that we need, we keep collecting more so that in case we lose the ability to collect our nuts, that we'll have plenty of nuts stored up so that when we're not making nuts, we can still tap into our, right, savings account of nuts. That's what we do, is even after your needs have been met, bills have been paid, you don't feel good unless there's plenty stored away. And that's why we love checking accounts, and we love savings accounts, and we love IRAs, and we love 401ks, and we love retirement accounts, and we love having CDs and bonds and stocks, and we love having all of these little trees in which we've stored our nuts, and we want to keep all of those. And so when we lose any of that, we don't go, "Oh, it was a great day in the stock market. I lost 30% of my portfolio." We don't get excited about that. We start feeling, so we, the church, when we were still affiliated with this denomination, we had a property out on 193, and there was a big lake in the back, and it was about a 10-acre lake, and we owned half of that. And there there was an engineered spillway. When the lake would get too full from rain, it would spill off and relieve the pressure of that lake, or else if it didn't, it would burst this berm, engineered berm, and then flood these Lincoln Hills apartments. And that would be terrible. We would lose everything and we would get sued, and that was horrible. So we had all this stuff engineered, right? Well, these beavers who would travel from all over and use that lake as their home would dam that up. And so one of our responsibilities was to rake out all of that stuff. And I got to tell you, there were more beavers than there were us, and they had more time to devote to building the dams than we had to breaking up the dams. So we eventually got county trappers to come out, and they were going to hunt them at night. And I just said, what compels them to do this? Why every night do they work all night long when we come back and bust it up the next morning? And he said, they hear that water flowing out, and that is what they value. This is their home. He says, I want you to imagine logging into your bank account and just seeing dollars backing out of your, he said, would you every morning get up and make sure you check your checking account and stop whatever it is that was draining that? That's what you and I do. We feel like when we're losing, there's no reason to be thankful. That's a reason to panic. But now, I want to switch gears, and I want you to think about this for a second. Can you imagine your whole life if you had never lost? Imagine your mouth if you had never lost your baby teeth, and now your adult teeth and baby teeth are there. Gross, weird, difficult to chew, cavities, all kinds of problem. How about hair? If you still had every hair that you've ever grown over the course of your entire, now some of you are bald in here and I'm getting there. I get it. I'd go, I'd like to have some of it back, right? But imagine never having lost any of your hair. Let me go one further. How about skin cells? Do you know that you lose between 30 and 40,000 skin cells per hour? That you lose on an average of 8 pounds of skin cells a year. If you were 40 years old and had never lost any of your skin cells, you would be 320 pounds heavier than you are right now. Are you starting to feel a sense of gratitude for having lost some things along the way? Right? Now, I want you to think about this. Think about having every piece of clothing you've ever owned still in your home. Every piece of furniture, every vehicle, everything you've ever possessed in your life, having never lost anything at all, having never moved anything on, never passed anything on, never sold anything, never gotten rid of anything, you still had it all. Is it starting to make sense how we can't keep it all? So listen to this passage of scripture. I love this story in Exodus. The Israelites were puzzled by when they saw it. Now, God had promised them, they had been grumbling about provision and didn't have enough. And God said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you food every single day. I'm going to give you food every single day. It's going to come literally from heaven. They had never heard of it before. It was called manna. And the Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. And they said, what is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household, now listen, this is important. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. God knows exactly how much we need. So the people of Israel did exactly as they were told.
Some gathered a lot, some only a little, but when they measured it out, every one had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Notice how it just kept saying that over and over again. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until the morning. Don't create a savings account of this food. But some of them did not listen and kept some of it until morning. By then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And the sun became, and when the, as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. So it would settle as a dew in the morning, and when the dew evaporated, there'd be this white flaky bread on the ground called manna. And it said it tasted like it had been baked with honey, the sweet bread, every single day. And Moses said, take exactly what you need, but no more than what you need. And some of them did not do it. Now, I love this, first of all, because they didn't recognize God's blessings when it was right in front of them. Even though God had promised them food, he said, you will literally receive food from heaven. And then they have it, and they go, what is it? What is this? And Moses goes, it's the food God promised. Are you guys dense? It's the food God promised you. What do you, this is it. And then he gave him instruction, and then some of them could not help themselves. He said, God will take care of your needs. Don't store up this. Don't save this. And they did it anyway. And listen, there's a reason that God allows some of the things in our life to be full of maggots and get a bad smell. And that God allows for provision right in, listen to this, for provision right in front of you as you see all of this money laying on the ground, all of this life source laying on the ground, all of this provision laying on the ground, and it literally evaporates in front of your eyes. Amen. God allows that because he wants to remind you that tomorrow morning there'll be more there for you. That God cares about your need. He's not going to let you go hungry. That you are his child, and he is going to fulfill his promises over and over and over again. God wants you to see that loss is okay because it makes room for more. I want you to imagine trying to add resource on top of maggot-filled, smelly provision. It would just contaminate what you've already, right? You got this, and now you're taking new stuff and you're putting it in there. You don't want to contaminate that. You want to get up every day and trust God for the provision in your life. Number two is this. That was a really good place to say amen. I get good at generosity when I get good at being thankful for, number two, things that I have gained. So I make a lot of phone calls when I drive. It's kind of my office, and I take care of as much business as I can, and it's a time that I'm focused. I'm not doing anything else so I can talk to people. I know for those under like 30 years old, the cell phone that you carry around can be used as a communication device in which two people exchange voice conversations. So it's called a phone call. Anyway, try it out sometime just to be retro and fun. So I make a lot of phone calls, and I know it's like the weirdest thing to call someone today, but so I make a lot of phone calls, and I feel like the Bluetooth in my truck is not great. And I'm always yelling. I feel like I'm yelling at people when I'm talking to them. Like, if you could just do, because I'm yelling over the road noise and everything else. So it feels like a hostile conversation. So I went out and got some Apple AirPods, right? The little, looks like straws are hanging out of your ear. That's, so I had some of those. And I liked using them. I'd throw them in my car and I'd drive and I'd talk. And really good reception, all that good stuff. And one day they were just gone. I opened the little charging case and I was like, where are my AirPods? And I could not find them, and I was really upset. And Lisa was like, honey, they're going to show up. They're going to show up. And I go, they're not, honey, things don't just reappear. Things just don't come back. Like, they don't find you. These AirPods aren't like, we miss him. And they're like running around, and there's some big adventure and a movie being made about them. There's nothing like that happening, dear. I lost my AirPods, or somebody stole them. I was really upset, right? And like months went by. And I tried to find my AirPods on my phone, and I don't know. It was just terrible. So anyway, fast forward, I'm getting ready for some event, and I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, it called for me to wear a white linen shirt. I just chose that. So I've got this shirt in my closet, and we had bought it for a cruise, and I was like, I'm going to pull out the white linen shirt. I'm going to leave the button down to here, right, and let all my chest hair come out. So I throw it on the ironing board, and I'm ironing, and I'm a good ironer. I iron all my clothes, right, okay, so I'm a hip liberal man. I do all my own laundry, and I'm really starting to make Lisa sound terrible, but cook all my own food. Anyway, I'm ironing my clothes, and I just go, "What? Ah! There's just this huge iron burn on it. Like, first time I've ever burnt a piece of clothes. It was just, I was like, I put it on the right setting, and I can't. So I walk it downstairs. I'm really upset. I throw the shirt on the floor, because I wanted to show Lisa my stellar ironing skills later. So she comes down, and I was like, hey, check this out. And I pull the shirt up from the floor. I was getting ready to throw it away. And all of a sudden, we hear this. And I look down, and the AirPods had slid across the floor. Apparently, the last time I wore that shirt, I had taken them out and stuck them in the front pocket and then hung the shirt back up and didn't realize. I was so excited that I had gotten back something that had value, because she kept saying, honey, you know, you like him, you need to go out and buy him again. And I was like, I'm not spending that kind of money again on something I owned already. I lost them. I'm so mad about that. And there they were. I don't think that was some God thing. I don't think God was trying to teach me some big spiritual lesson like, I held on to these. I let them be lost so that you could... I just stuck them in a pocket and lost them for a couple months. But it makes a great illustration of the fact that you and I can regain something back. And there's a sense of gratitude that comes along with it. So last week we talked about this story in which Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus had been raised from the dead, that Mary had taken this bottle of $71,000 oil and broken it and spilled it all out on Jesus's feet and anoints him with this and then dries it with her hair, and the whole house fills with this fragrance, and Judas has this really selfish, self-serving response to it. We talked about him last week, but I want to shift over and talk about Mary, and we're reading it from a different book this week, Mark 14:6-9. Jesus said, leave her alone, as the crowd started kind of backing up Judas. Why are you giving her such trouble? She did a very good thing for me. You'll always have the poor with them, or with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you'll not always have me. This woman did the only thing she could do for me. She poured perfume on my body before I die to prepare it for burial. And there's a whole thing there we won't go into. The good news will be told. The good news, capital G, capital N. The gospel will be told to people all over the world. And I can assure you, everywhere the good news is told, the story of what this woman did would also be told, and people will remember her. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still talking about this woman. And here's why. Because Mary did something because of what she had gained. She did something extravagant. I want you to hear this. Mary was responding not just to the presence of Jesus, but to the impact that Jesus had in her personal life. 2 months earlier, her brother had died. Mary and Martha had sent word for people to go find Jesus and his disciples and say, you better get here. Your good friend Lazarus is near death. You need to come save him. And Jesus took his sweet time and didn't. Then he shows up, and Lazarus is already dead and in the grave, and Mary and Martha are furious with Jesus. And Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave, and before everybody's eyes, he literally has the grave clothes taken off of him, and Lazarus is back to life. This happened 2 months earlier, and so when she has Jesus sitting in her presence, do you think it seems absurd to her for her to take $71,000 worth of this perfume? And she says, this is the person worth spending it on. Now you go, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me. Well, I'll put it like this. Let's say you're having dinner with someone in your home, and they're from the church here, and you get talking about some stuff, and we had just taken some big special offering for something, and they go, yeah, we've been saving for 10, 15 years for retirement, and We had about $75,000 saved up, and we just literally emptied that account and we gave it all to the church. Now, would your honest reaction be, oh my gosh, that's so, I'm inspired by that. That's amazing. Good for you. Or would it be, are you out of your mind? What are you going to retire? How? Are you some fanatic nut job? Why would you do? You'd get in the car with your spouse and go, right? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? But that's the reaction of Judas. And you go, well, yeah, I guess if someone in my life had been raised from the dead, maybe I would do that. Can I remind you that before you found Christ, you were dead? You were dead to your sins and separated from God eternally, and that because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you are now alive. Everything in your life is because of the goodness of God, God's generosity. Now, my oldest son now works at Air One K-Love. K-Love, I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Air One K-Love. And before that, he had worked in an accounting firm. Well, because of my relationship with the owner of the accounting firm, he kind of got that job. And then I had a board member here at the church who was the chief strategy officer at K-Love. And because of my connection, I got Caleb the interview at that place. Now, Caleb may look at that and say, well, what I earn today is because of me. But one might argue he's only there because of me, his dad. Because I don't know that without my influence in opening a door that he might not have gotten that job. You see, that gratitude needs to go back. And when you go, well, I have a job because of me, you have a job because of God's favor and influence. You earn what you earn because God says so. Because if you don't think that God can take that away at any minute, you're absolutely wrong about the power of God. So when we look at our lives, we need to be thankful for everything that we've lost, but everything that we've gained in its place, because God will always allow loss in your life so something better can replace it. Third and finally is this: I get good at generosity when I get good at being thankful for things that are still to come. So those that of us that have souls, we get excited about Christmas, right? And the more right you are with God, the earlier you get excited about Christmas. It's not me, that's the word of God saying that. Some obscure scriptures I don't have time to get into, and there's a lot of Greek and Hebrew that you guys don't worry about it, but the Bible says, thou shalt celebrate immediately after Halloween. No, not Thanksgiving. That's the pagan ritual to celebrate after Thanksgiving. The calendar goes Halloween to Thanksgiving is Christmas. You stop for one day, and then celebrate, and then you pick back up with Christmas celebration. So we start listening to music. We start decorating. We start planning parties that we're going to attend. We attend parties. We do all of this buildup. Even if you started celebrating after Thanksgiving, you still got about a month of anticipation and preparation for the celebration of Christmas. And that's the way it should be, because some things are worthy of that. So let me ask you this: what promise of God in your life are you that excited about? That you're singing about it, that you're talking about it, that you're praying about it, that you're thinking about it, that you're smiling about it. I've been helping a friend hang drywall at their house. So since last Saturday, I've been over there every day, and we don't get cell phone reception out there, so I have this little Bluetooth speaker, and I set it up, and I just let my playlist play, whatever was downloaded already on there, and it went through all the 80s rock stuff, and that was great. Then all of a sudden, it just switched, and it was this magic, and my face just I started smiling and I got a burst of energy. It was Mariah Carey's Christmas album. And this friend goes, "Well, I have to tell you, the first Christmas song of 2019 is playing right here, right now." And I was all, "Bro, I've been jamming to this since October, man. Where have you been?" But let me ask you, what promise of God have you been anticipating like we all anticipate the joy of Christmas? And is it maybe because that Christmas is like clockwork? We know with certainty Christmas is coming December 25th, and maybe it's that we don't anticipate the promises of God like we anticipate the certainty of things like Christmas. Lamentations 3:22 through 24 says this, The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are what? New every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. I say to myself, the Lord is mine, so I hope in him. I love that attitude right there. Solomon says, listen, I trust God. I believe in God. He is my God, and that's where I put my anticipation, my celebration, my hope, my expectation. I place my trust in God because God has proven to show up more reliably than Christmas shows up on December 25th. God is there all the time for me, and that's where I place my trust. I expect the future things of God. We bless God and thank God and we give thanks not usually for things in the past. We give thanks for God for things in the past. We always thank him for things that have already happened. We do it. We go to Tahoe as a family every year with Lisa's family, and we sit around, and one of the things we do before we eat is everyone goes around and shares what they're thankful for. Can I tell you this? I've never heard any of us, me included, say, "I'm thankful for what's to come. I'm thankful for the blessings that are about to happen in my life. I'm thankful for the things that are going to happen tomorrow and next week and the month after that," because God's promises, God's goodness, God's loyalty, God's favor, God's blessings are new. Every single morning, there's something new coming into my life. How often have you and I missed those moments, though? Because we're worried about what we don't yet have. We're taking manna and we're, in defiance of God's command, we're storing it away. Don't fret or worry, Philippians 4:6-7 says, instead of worrying, pray. Can you imagine the difference it would make if every time we worried, we prayed instead? Let petitions and praises, and it literally translates that like this, petition with thanksgiving. When you ask God for something, you ask him with parenthetically, with parentheses of gratitude. I thank you, God, in advance for the thing that you're going to provide for my life. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, in advance for what's going to, the need that's going to be met in my life. Lord, you know that we have a payment due and we don't have the money. So I'm thanking you now in Jesus' name that that payment's going to be made, God, that you're going to provide for us. How many times do you and I get caught up going, yes, I'm thankful for what we have, but I'm worried about what we don't have? When God says, pray with confidence, not with worry, not with reluctance, not with fear, letting God know your, oh, it says, shape your worries into prayers. I love that. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, I love this, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I like that because, you know, if you have a jug full of water and then you push something down into it, something has to give and the water will relent, and it's called displacing. It moves out of the way to make room for what's now occupying that space. And I love the idea that peace and confidence in God's provision displaces worry. Worry just spills out, evaporates, runs away because of the confidence we have in God's provision. Let me ask you this. Would you be more generous If every time you gave away $100, immediately $100 was put into your hand? Yeah, we all would. We'd be like, I don't care. Here, take it. I get another one. It would just be like, yeah. As many of those as I give away, I get back. Do you believe that God hands you resources so that you can shove it into your pocket, hoard it, and keep it? You see, because that's our normal response. Is when we get blessed, we think, how much do I need? And if there's any left over, that's what I'll use as fund money. Maybe I'll give that in the offering. But what if you believed that God gave you resources to move those resources through you, not into you? Well, we know that God uses people like that. I have some friends that are, I actually have several friends. A couple of them are multimillionaires. And they are unbelievably generous. They'll pay for, and I'm talking in church, in personal relationships, they give thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to ministry. They give generously to families. They see a need and their heart is moved and they just move their resources out to them. Now, the question is, did they become millionaires and then decide to be generous? Or is it possible that they became millionaires because they were generous? We have some friends locally here that I watch their generosity. And I think people from the outside look at their lives and go, must be nice. And I go, you know what? It must be nice to be you, to hang on to everything and not move anything along. Because them, on the other hand, I watch their lives and I see blessing just move through them. It's like they look for opportunities to give away their resources. And when they do, God just replenishes them plus some, continues to bless them. I've gotten to the place where I just want to be that. I just want to be that. Because I looked into what it would cost to have at the gravesite to have multiple spots taken up so I can bring all my crap with me, and it's just too expensive to do. So I figure I might as well get rid of it all and be a blessing. It's amazing how much time we invest in hoarding, which we can't keep, and how much time we spend neglecting the treasures we live with for eternity. Well, somebody wave a hanky, yeah. Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes, and close together? This is good. It's good for us. It's good for us to wrestle with these things. And you're brave and mature and strong for sitting there and processing it and receiving it and wrestling with it and then responding to it. Good for you. I'm proud of you. Go on the journey. It's worth taking. Fight. Wrestle. Can I tell you this? The enemy doesn't want you to be generous. The enemy wants you to be selfish. Because when you're selfish, it feeds every sinful nature that you have. And when you're generous, you become and act like Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this? Would you just raise your hand and say, I'm in the middle of a journey. It's not an easy journey. But I'm fighting to be more like him. And I need the boldness and the confidence. I need the encouragement. I need the strength. I need the clarity of mind to finish this process of becoming, knowing and becoming the generous person that I'm meant to be. Would you just stick your hand up and I'm going to pray for everyone. Wow. God, so awesome. It's so awesome to see when your people respond to you like this. how awesome it is when we say yes to your plan for our life. So God, in Jesus' name, I thank you in advance for the changed lives, for the processes that not only start today, but the finishing. Your word says that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. So God, a good work that you began in us, you're faithful to complete it. Let us get up every single day anticipating the blessings of God so that we can react with the gratitude and generosity that makes us more like you. We want to be more like you. Let us be more like you by giving us opportunity to be generous in our lives, to anticipate the blessings of God like we anticipate Christmas, with the expectation and the joy and the celebration. God, thank you for these opportunities that you put in front of us, even starting today. And more importantly, thank you for how we'll react differently than we ever have before. And I thank you for it now, for changed lives in Jesus' name, amen.